We're live on Boss Barrel Radio, BBR, also known as Big Butts the Realist. That's all I got.
That was my nickname in college.
I believe we're at 162. That's what the document says, so I think we're there.
Booty college.
And it's been a while. We've waited our customary 1 to 2 weeks, which is actually a month.
Yeah, it's time dilation. It was actually shorter, but you're getting older now, so it seems
longer. Okay, yeah, well, I was traveling at the speed of light on vacation. So
oh, true. Yeah.
That's probably what happened.
I mean, you were on an island, right? And those actually are not bound by physical laws.
I was on a temporal island, actually. Mm. So, yeah. I entered there, and time was stopped on the island, and then I left, and it started again. And then I had an armpit infection.
Did you find any polar bears?
Any polar bears? No, but you that was filmed in Hawaii. Not the particular island we were on, I don't think.
Mm. It's all the same.
But yeah. Is this now a Lost podcast?
Always is.
Talk about Lost?
It has always been. That's the secret reveal.
It's like when Lost was revealed to have always been a sci-fi show.
Surprise!
Surprise! The sci-fi elements turned into sci-fi. Oh, that was the time when it was thought that Americans couldn't tolerate sci-fi.
Yeah.
So you had to sneak it in.
Yep. And look at us now.
Yes, now we have the comics.
Yep.
It's all comics. Just everywhere in reality television.
Oh, yes.
The bad Bitches Club or something. Bad Girls Club. There's a really awful one that I have been subjected to from time to time. Have you heard of this one? I think it's called The Bad Girls Club.
I don't know. That sounds pretty awful.
It's about what you'd expect.
Are You the One is one that is frequently on our television here. Which
Are You the One? Is it a dating show?
It's a, yeah, I mean, aren't they all really?
Yeah, I guess so.
They have to guess who is their quote-unquote perfect match, and it is always amazing.
It's a binary code show. Everyone else is a zero, and they're looking for the one. There you go.
That's the sci-fi angle, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually always been a sci-fi show.
You've been a nerd all this time. Surprise.
What was presented as a reality television show was actually a heavily scripted fictional drama.
Right, yep.
That developed a meta-narrative over the course of like 30 seasons.
Mm-hmm. Are You the One brought to you by Neil deGrasse Tyson. Uncredited.
Can we do a Neil deGrasse Tyson reality dating show?
Yes. What would that entail? Is it...
all I know is the last thing that I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about is how there can't be intelligent design because we have an entertainment complex situated right next to a sewage system. So I'm assuming he would say that to the ladies.
I think that's a great opener, yeah.
And then just see where things go from there.
Oh, better yet. Okay, so the show is everybody is already dating Neil deGrasse Tyson, and then you just need to call the herd.
Or it's a multiverse situation where Neil deGrasse Tyson has different partners in each one.
Uh-huh. Different Neil deGrasse Tysons.
And he can traverse the multiverse and date all of them at the same time.
He is the constant.
Unfortunately, the quantum irregularity has to resolve, and he has to wind up in one universe.
So unfortunate that's how season one ends. Yeah.
And then in season two, there's another event, and we don't really talk about how it happened. But
no, that one was straight to web.
Yeah. That's so, the one where Neil deGrasse Tyson starts dating men too.
Ooh.
He was a secret bisexual. Well, it's a reality show twist, right?
Yeah, that is. Yep. Gotcha. Dicks on dicks.
I'll make out with anyone for money.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, I think we nominally talk about video games in this show too.
Yeah, when it's not Secret Boss discussion.
Yeah. And we did play a lot of them. Certainly you played a lot of them. I played some of them.
Yeah, well, when we have like 8 months, we have a secret year in between. Does that happen?
It's been 1 minute for me, man.
I was looking at the list a while ago, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to be pretty light talk. And I think that was like right when it was just before I played Undertale, and I was like, pretty paltry list there. I could talk about some party games.
Well, I feel like 80% of your list is just Jackbox games.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is good. I'm on board with that from what I've seen of them. But
to tell you about some Jackbox games?
You going to tell me about the Jackbox?
Mm-hmm.
I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson works at Jackbox in episode 7.
What?
If you know what I'm saying.
Impossible. I will tell you about Jackbox, not starring Neil deGrasse Tyson. So Jackbox Party Pack 2 came out a while ago, and it's like a package of 5 games that are all in the theme of You Don't Know Jack. And the big headliner is Fibbage 2. So that's the game in which you are presented with a trivia sentence or fact, and you need to replace you, with a blank word in it. You need to give a word that you think you can trick people with it, a lie. And then
you just fill in one word.
Mm-hmm. It's like, for example, it could be like, this town in Nova Scotia is best known for its blank population. And then you would write in, you know, something horribly racist. Yeah.
Because there's a town called Dildo in Nova Scotia. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah.
Really? Well, there you go. It's, Jeff, you guessed it. So Jeff, you would have written that, and then it would have been like, that's actually the answer. You need to write something else, and then you could guess the answer.
Oh, okay. So you all make up fake answers, and then amongst the fake answers, the real answer is sprinkled in.
Yes. Yeah. And then yep. So that one's the most well known, I think, and the most well liked from the Fibbage or the Jackbox legacy. The new games are Earwax, which is my least favorite. And that is,
what are you doing that?
You're given a prompt, and it's like, the end of a political debate, of the most unruly political debate. And then you're given audio cues. So it's like duck whistle. And then you'll get a list of like 5 different sound effects. So it's like slide whistle,
okay,
a clown falling downstairs, a wooga horn, and then you'll pick one of those, and then you have a second option, and it's like wet fart, hot wet fart.
You have to build an audio sample from what they give you.
You do, but it's only 2 samples, and they just go back to back, and then it
oh, that's lame.
It is very lame, and it also keeps like the written name of the sound effects on it.
Okay, so you know in advance that it's going to be like slide whistle.
I think it really detracts from what the actual sounds are, because you could have like something that says like, you're like, oh, inherently a fart is hilarious, but then it already says like hot, tight, wet fart, and you're like, okay, that's a great just sentence right there. That's a great series of words. So I don't
hot,
even
tight,
need
wet
to
fart is actually the last com. Movie that I started.
Oh, nice.
I received a small stipend for it, but you know. It's worth it for the experience.
Yeah. So it's just kind of, it's detracting, I think, and it's not very fun.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it's not really a great game.
Yeah, it sounds like it doesn't really keep with the kind of creative spirit of Jackbox. Like, Jackbox is all about using your imagination to come up with crazy shit.
It does, though. I think if they, when they make Earwax 2, it will, they'll be able to round the edges out to make it like a funnier experience, where they need to take out like one of the other big problems with that is whoever buzzes in first or submits their answer will also get to, they'll play the sound effect first, so you can kind of tell like who did what, and and then they'll also like, they need to remove the names of the sound effects, because it's like goat yowling like a human man is hilarious. You don't need to hear that sound to know that that's going to be funny.
What about the deaf gamers, man? Those deaf gamers need to laugh at descriptions of humorous sounds.
that's a fair point, but it is a audio pairing based mini game, so maybe that's not the best choice.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
The other game in the pack, the newest one, I think, and the most controversial, would be Bomb Squad, and that is it's pretty much Don't Stop Talking and You Don't Explode. What's the name of that?
Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes?
Yeah, there we go.
have you played Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes? Because that game is not maybe what you would think.
I haven't played it, but it is, kind of. It is.
Okay. So you've seen it actually being played, though?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So you know how it works. Yep. Okay.
So Bomb Squad is, it's very much like Space Team, in that, like, everybody gets a list of instructions, and then only certain people on the Bomb Squad team can cut the wires of the bomb or manipulate the bomb somehow.
Okay. And then, so it sounds actually identical.
It's 100% identical. Yeah. But the only difference is there is a very, very light story mode going on in it that is really enjoyable. So we've been stuck for weeks on it being like the fourth day or something like that of going to this office that sucks at making bombs. So everything always explodes there. So you have to like, you have to make coffee, and it's like,
coffee is actually a bomb.
The coffee will explode. And they're like, yeah, sorry, if you make the coffee wrong, it's going to explode. It's very, the jokes are very good in that.
That's pretty good, actually. I like that.
Yep.
I'm sure it's not as good as Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, though, because that is like the preeminent limited information bomb defusal game out there.
Yeah, it also doesn't have like the kind of like diversionary tactics that game has. Like it's a lot more straightforward and a lot more like party game themed, where just pick up and play. It's not quite as crushing, but then again, it is also extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. So let's see here. Then Quiplash, which
XL. I know well. Yeah,
yeah, it's the next Quiplash, which is just, you know, more,
just more questions, right?
Yeah. So it's the thing that Fibbage was really, it's what I would do with Fibbage. So you would just write the funniest thing into that blank instead of trying to make a good lie. You just try and make people laugh.
Yeah, I like Quiplash a lot. I think it's basically Cards Against Humanity except without limitations.
Exactly. Which is why I love this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah. The creativity is on you now.
Yeah.
So yeah, Quiplash, you're just writing in, it'll give you a prompt of the last thing you'd want to see your neighbor doing. And, you know, you have full range, full options available to you to write in whatever you want there.
Yeah, and then people vote on the best one. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you can also choose the one that you like best, I think, right? And you get some points for that too.
Yeah, there is in all of Jackbox Party Pack 2, there is like an audience mode, so you can always be voting. Like if you're not actually in the 8-player game, you can always vote and kind of swing it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my favorite game, which is I think the secret best of all of these games, it's called Bidiots, and it is the most obtuse, complicated game that they have ever done, in my opinion.
Perfect. That's what Jackbox is all about. Yeah. Obtuse, complicated controls.
It's a game that whenever I have people over to play this, it's like, okay, we're gonna play these games first and then we'll play Bidiots, because you need to ease into it.
Do you bid on things?
You do. So what it does is it takes like the element of their previous game, Drawful, which you would get a prompt and then you have to draw it, which sucked, because then it just becomes like a competition of who's really good at drawing, and that's not really enjoyable. So what Bidiots does is you start playing and you're given two prompts, and the prompt, for example, could be I'll give you the one that I did last. It was like Cinderella's Palace and a bad haircut.
Okay.
So the first one that you draw, what you think is on your touch device, what you think Cinderella's Palace looks like, and then you hit yes, you can't erase anything, so you give a little sketch of that, and then you're like, okay, how do I draw a bad haircut? I draw, you know, stick figure man, hair cutting, frowny face, whatever.
All right.
And now you're playing. So you get $3,000, and your objective is to bid on one of the pictures and pay the lowest amount of money for it, get the most from the painting.
What do you mean, get the most from it?
So, for example, it could say, so Cinderella's castle could be worth $4,000, and then it gets bid to $1,700, and then, so the person who ends up buying it, you know, gets a profit of 13.
So, like, is this stuff that's really easy to draw worth a lot, or what?
No, this is where the angle comes in. You then later find out everybody had to draw something that was like a castle. Everybody had to draw something involving kind of hair.
Okay.
So you then on your touch, on your gamepad device, it'll say like, the Sistine Chapel is worth $3,800. And then you'll get another prompt that's like, gum in my hair is worth $800. So now in front of a full group, you get a picture of, you know, what looks like a guy yanking at his hair, and you're like, oh crap, I know that's not my picture, which is a bad haircut. It's another hair related picture. Looks like maybe it's gum in his hair. So I'm going to bid.
Well, so you know in advance what you're bidding on. You're like, oh, I want the good one.
Yes. So you'll get the prompt of this picture.
It's a guy just pulled his hair out because he's crazy. Or
yeah,
something.
It's like the,
and it's worth $2.
It's worth so. That's the really amazing thing about the game is it's like you're like, oh, that has to be gum in the hair. I'm gonna bid it up to 800 and then back out. So whoever wins the bid will lose money instead of make money. And then it turns out, oh, there's actually another prompt, and that person who was bidding on it knew that it was, or was guessing that it was, you know, twiddling my hair or something like that.
Yeah. I get it.
So then you're like, ha ha ha, I got you, sucker. You're going to overpay it. And then it's like, it's worth $3,500. And you're like, no, they just made a big profit off it.
I guess I could see that being, it doesn't seem like it'd be as like rip-roaringly laugh out loud funny as like Quiplash, but it seems like it's pretty strategic.
It is not nearly as funny, but the interstitial like jokes that they have in that game, like all the audio cues, like so eventually you'll run out of money if you know you'll bid, you only have $3,000, you bid on two paintings, you're out of money. So you have to take out a loan, and the loan jingle is hilarious. I'll put it in the podcast. It's very good.
Okay. Yes, please. Splice it right here. Right now.
Predatory loans. We really hope that you don't read the fine print.
Okay, I just did.
Don't actually splice in anything.
Man. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't that hilarious? Yes. And then the shark jumps out and takes a chomping bite out of the screen. But the thing is too, it's like, you know, you're looking at the pictures and it's just so much fun because you're like, I know what that is. And then it's like, oh wait, no, it was actually,
nope, you're completely wrong.
Uh-huh.
I remember that a little bit with Drawful. I seem to recall they had a similar thing going on where like you would guess, but it would be like something slightly different. Like it would give you a lot of options. Mm-hmm. Is this right? Like you'd have to choose what it was, and they were all really similar and like very easily confused.
Yes. But then the thing that I just disliked about that so much was it was like, to what end? You pick the thing.
To what end?
So somebody who's a really good drawer can draw like Batman, a Dark Knight full of justice, and they're like, okay, they just draw Batman. But in this, like the diversity of artistic talent makes it so funny to be like, okay, so this person doesn't know. For example, there was like the Sistine Chapel was one of the choices, and Jen's like, I don't know what the Sistine Chapel is. I drew something that looked like a castle and then wrote a bunch of 16s on it. And I'm like, that is amazing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Or you just hide dicks in all your pictures too, which is really funny.
Yep. Oh, always, man. Every picture, I mean, every famous picture in a museum has a dick somewhere in it.
It's, yeah, true.
Modern art is just all dicks.
Uh-huh.
Very abstract dicks.
More like modern fart.
Oh!
Yeah. So that's Jackbox Party Pack 2. I quite possibly the best game this year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see if that makes your list.
It will.
Oh, shit. Cool. Very cool. Definitely kind of a non-traditional game, but I think it's well-deserved from what I've seen of it.
Yeah.
I wish I had a crew that I could actually play it with, because it's just kind of, you need enough people who are willing to do that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I have that crowd around here.
Yeah, it definitely, you need a minimum of four people to play. You cannot do it.
Yeah, I'm sure
with three.
If I went to that barcade around, they probably like play that.
Yeah.
Because I know they have TVs set up and they like to do that kind of shit. But other than that, I probably wouldn't be able to get a lot of access. But I love the concept. Mm-hmm. I think the Quiplash I've watched has been hilarious. So
yeah.
Do you want to talk about anything else on your list here, or you want me to jump in with something?
Did you? Well, no, you go ahead, please.
Okay. I'll talk about a game I played, which has a small story attached to it, which you might be able to guess.
Okay.
It's Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. How do you think I got that, Griffin?
I think I know exactly how you got that.
It involves some trades of kinds.
How?
Trades and purchases.
The question is, are you still an ambassador?
I'm still an ambassador. Okay. Of course I'm still an ambassador.
That's all that matters.
Through it all.
How many face
plates? I never sullied
my
ambassador name. So for people who don't understand the implications of Happy Home Designer, I got a standard-sized new 3DS because I'm a Nintendo corporate whore.
How many 3DSs do you have now?
I don't even know. I get rid of the old ones for the most part. So I did keep the Majora one though. But I traded some old ones just because I think the Majora one might actually have some value for some people.
Okay, I was just curious because I wanted to know if you switched fully away from the big screen.
I have switched fully away, and I have no qualms about it. It's really not that much different at this point. You know, there's a minor alteration and, you know, in you really don't really notice it. I mean, things feel a tiny bit more cramped, but the screen is a little bit bigger than the standard 3DS. So it's not unpleasant or anything. Mm-hmm. And I bought a couple cover plates because I'm also a
What did you get?
I got the wood one, which I actually really like. I actually really like it because I have like sweaty, stupid hands that just get gunk all over my consoles. Mm-hmm. And when I use the wood one, it like doesn't deposit man slime on it.
Oh, it like absorbs it?
Yeah, it like absorbs it and becomes greater for it.
Oh, you're aging it. You're aging your,
there you go, yeah.
Your device.
The wood is really nice. I got a couple other weird ones. Like I got one of the wacky Chiari ones just to be weird and have something that was pseudo feminine.
Okay.
And I think I got one of the Triforce Zelda ones because that one was like matte and kind of nice. Huh. But I'm very satisfied. I really like it. It's totally aesthetic and not worth it unless you're a crazy person like me. But bundled in that package was Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer.
Well, hot dog.
Which is a game I never would have bought otherwise.
I was moving that furniture.
It was okay. It's not... It really reminds me a lot of Style Savvy, actually.
Oh.
Which, it's probably not as good as Style Savvy, to kind of jump in there. But are you familiar? You're familiar with kind of how that game works, right?
Not really.
So basically, a big part of Style Savvy is people come to you with requests for clothing, and you just basically dress them up.
Okay.
This is basically that, except with houses. The problem I have is that I was actually having a fair bit of fun like building houses for people, but very quickly, the amount of choices you have just becomes completely overwhelming.
Oh, really? Huh.
A little bit. Here's the problem. So it came with like an Amiibo card that you could scan in.
Yeah.
So I scanned it in, and I was like, oh,
cool.
And now
you have all of them.
No, not at all. I was like, oh, cool, a special character. Like, that's neat. I'm going to get to build a cool home for them. And usually when you build homes, they, like, give you guidance.
Okay.
But they were just like, build whatever you want. And I was like, oh, no. this is the most difficult boss of this game. Like, just doing whatever I want.
Yeah.
It's like when I have to name a character something and there's no suggested name.
Yeah.
I need a guideline.
I've ran into that twice recently. And yes, I totally understand that feeling of I need to have that limitation. Help me, give me guidance when I have to create this.
What I will say is that the game actually does a decent job of kind of... Because you start out with a pretty limited set of choices. And it kind of doles out furniture and options over time. Uh-huh. And every time you accept a request from someone, they usually have a guideline. And with that guideline, you'll get furniture related to the guideline. So it kind of helps you with like planning your builds and stuff.
Okay.
But I just had a whole string of things where like people didn't know what they wanted. They were just like, just build whatever. And I was like, I can't do this.
Get out of my home, you undecisive bastard.
Yeah. And they just keep piling on the options. They're like, now you can do shit to the ceilings and also change all the windows and the outside of the house and the yard. No. And I'm like, I can't do this. Just let me design like a floor.
Yeah.
So it got overwhelming quick. Hey, I don't think it's a terrible game, but it's certainly not. It's not something that I would spend my money on. But yeah, I think it's just worth talking about because it shows that I'm a bastard who got the normal.
Something DS. You wouldn't spend your money on outside of the Nintendo tax to
of
get.
Buying a worthless console that has no value at all.
I will be getting the new version once it gets unbundled.
Decoupled. I'm sure it will too. That's the funny thing. It's like, I know that. Given the like the regular availability of this, I'm sure it will be unbundled at some point, but
mm-hmm.
I'm crazy.
If they released the Yo-Kai Watch version of it in the US, I would get that in a heartbeat.
That would be awesome if they did. Although, interestingly, they did not release people speculated that they would release the Fire Emblem version, because there was a Fire Emblem one with some plates, but they ended up releasing a 3DS XL, I think. I'll have to check on that, but I believe that's the case. But I'm happy with it. I like the smaller size. You know, it fits this particular stage in my life, and I'm really excited that I'm really excited that it came. I'm just happy that it came, and I'm, you know, Nintendo stuff, all reason goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what about you? Tell me something you played.
Boy, I got a couple things here. Let me just knock a couple out quick. So I played Star Wars Battlefront beta when that was available forever ago.
How was that?
My internet
connection
was... The biggest problem was my internet connection was hindering me to actually enjoy the game. The
other side game pretty much requires like always on, right?
The other side of it was shooting dudes in Star Wars World. Just it was weird. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I love the attention to detail and like being in the mythos and all that stuff, but I don't know. Shooting dudes game is not for me.
So do you mean like COD-ish or like Battlefield-ish gameplay grafted down to Star Wars doesn't work for you?
Yes, like that.
That makes a lot of sense to me, though.
That like just, you know, high tension, like very intense multiplayer action where it's like, I'm going to maybe get a kill and then I'll get killed immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
That's not enjoyable. So I was hoping...
No, that's not Star Wars.
If there was a story mode or something, I'd be in that in a drop of a hat. But this was... Mm-hmm. It was just a bummer. I'm like, this is not for me. And
I feel like Star Wars is kind of better when it's like slow and plotting and like your character has a little bit of health to them and you explore a level and see dorky stormtroopers. Like I don't want Twitch action in my Star Wars at all.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure there are plenty of people that who do have that, like, I like to play Battlefield. I like to do that intense grind. Like I was talking to my nephew and he was playing it and he's like, yeah, I'm max level on it. I love it. I found out this like trick where you can do this rocket pack jump thing. And he's like, it's so much fun. So I'm like, okay, well he likes shooters and he likes Star Wars. So, you know, chocolate peanut butter situation, he wins. But it's not for me.
Yeah, it does definitely tick a lot of boxes for your average consumer, but yeah, I could see why. I could definitely see why. And I think I agree with the concept that Twitch action and Star Wars just not quite a perfect match in my book.
Yeah. Yep. So let's see here. I also finished the Transformers game, Transformers Devastation. Yeah.
Yes. Oof, Did that hold up for you?
That was a brutal ending, but yeah, super good.
Okay.
Like the Diablo-based loot 'em up is a really weird angle that game has. And then, you know, it makes some crazy deep cuts in the Transformers universe. You get some really cool weapons and shit by the end of it. I don't know.
Sweet.
It was a great game.
Are the weapons, I forget, are they represented visually? Are they all different looking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotta have those different looking weapons. I'm all about it.
You definitely do. So I think I talked about it plenty last time, but I just wanted to touch on it and say I finished it.
Yeah.
It was very good. I started replaying it just a little bit with some other, to try out some of the other characters, and had a great time with it. What's
cool,
another one? Persona Dancing All Night Long is gone, and it's gone.
It's lost forever.
It is, because it got to the point where it's like, okay, you did the two sides of the story, now you're gonna go be involved on the third portion of it, but this one there's actually no dancing minigames, and I was like, oh great, that's good, because that's the worst part of this game. And then it's like, oh, it's now a 2-hour section story of a character I don't care anything about. And it's not fun. And I looked it up and I was like, oh, this is the third chapter. There's 7 chapters. I'm like, okay, I'm out.
Oh my god.
I can't do this.
I still don't get how people take this shit. I love anime bullshit, but I still don't fully get how there can be a dancing game that is supposed to be taken seriously as part of the canon. Can someone help me understand?
Because they do it really well, Jeff.
I don't care how well they do it.
No, it's really good. They you can't harm people. You cannot be harmed in this world. So therefore, your
all
persona...
you can do is, I know you can dance. I know their rationale. This is her boobs are big because it's necessary to the character. That's what she would do. That's how she would dress.
The sword turns into a bass guitar.
No, Cindy from Final Fantasy 15. Don't you know that female mechanics wear that kind of clothing?
Oh yeah,
that's just contextually appropriate.
Okay,
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Completely a different situation, though. I mean, if you're saying that's dumb, that's character design that is overpowering the reality of the world.
No, I know. It's totally. I'm totally completely cool with it. I just think it's kind of hilarious that people the love for, for this series is so great that people are totally willing to accept this bizarre development.
Yeah. I think the weirder thing, though, is the fact that there is like 4 offshoots now for Persona 4, and this is probably the most beloved of them, and like the fighting game kind of gets crapped on, even though it is by far the most interesting in terms of it's what it does with the universe. And then the Persona Q, which is like your dungeon mapping classic.
That's a 3 and 4 crossover, right?
Yeah, well, pretty much all of them are 3 and 4 crossovers now.
I don't fucking get it.
Yeah, it's really good. That's enough about that, though.
Yeah, I wish I understood it more. Maybe when Persona 5 comes out and I play it, I will.
Yeah, you'll get all into that Persona 5.
I'll be like, oh man, I can't wait for the breast rubbing game that's coming out next
Persona
year.
5 kart racer that, listen, that really ties everything together.
You have to rub their breasts because they're trapped in cryostasis, and the only way to... Okay.
You're not rubbing their breasts, you're massaging their chest in order to make their heartbeat.
You have to lure the persona out by rubbing their breasts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hey,
and
what are
exciting
you,
them.
This is not a Fire Emblem game, this is a Persona game that has morals.
Fire Emblem used to have morals, man. Yep. It used to. Before they realized that not having them would make their title sell better. Okay, fine. Persona is a thing.
It
which
is.
I'll try it at some point. I don't know.
No, you don't need to. I still maintain that the rhythm is off in that. There's something just off with that.
You could be right. I don't know. I hadn't heard it before, but
let's see here. Downwell played that iOS game.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
You want to cover that one?
Sure, I'll talk about it. So Downwell is an iOS game. I think it's actually made by a Japanese indie developer, which is kind of cool because those aren't super common. Especially in the iOS scene. Essentially, it is an infinite faller with roguelike elements, because everyone loves some roguelike elements.
Give me that.
You are a dude, and you're falling down a well and jumping on enemies. And
gun boots.
You also have gun boots that you can fire by holding the screen. And it's very simple. Very simple controls, just left, right, and jump. Very well executed. You can play it in a twitchy fashion, even on your phone, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Have you beaten it yet, Griff, or no?
No, God, no.
I got to the last boss, but I did not beat it.
I don't even think I've seen a boss.
There's only one boss. It's a super hard game, is what I was alerting to.
The last boss and first boss.
Yeah, the last and first boss. I was really excited, and I almost beat it, and then bad things happened. But it's really cool. It's a super hard game, but it's also, like, really... The physicality of it is perfect. Like, it's very fluid. Everything feels right, and you get a couple different styles you can use too. Like, I use the levitate style almost exclusively. I don't know if you've unlocked the styles yet.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So basically, there's like a rudimentary unlock system where the more you play, the more shit opens up, and you just get points and stuff. But you can unlock different styles of play. Like, one gives you, it buffs your health and gives you fewer power-ups. Another one gives you more power-ups but like less money, and another one just makes you jump higher, like, or makes you bounce higher off jumps. And that's a good one, because the important thing in this game is building combos by killing a lot of enemies without touching the ground. Because if you build a 25 combo, you get your health back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and if you get a 15, you get more bullets for your gun.
Yeah, I have hit that one before.
Yeah, but it's just a really fun, like, kinetic, twitchy little game. You know, it's like $3 or something. I really liked it a lot. One thing I will say is that sometimes when I'm playing it on my iPhone, I feel like other running programs cause input issues. Have you noticed this before?
Dude, my iPhone is so jacked up at this point because of the weird beta I'm in.
So, yes, I'm going to say yes, you did.
Yeah.
Has your experience been more or less the same, though?
It's just hitchy occasionally, but I haven't had any, like, input lag. It's more, if anything, it's just user error. So,
Fair enough. It's a good little game, though. Actually, I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's one of those things where, like, it's hard because I really enjoy it, and I would recommend it to any iOS user. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know if I would put it amongst games that are, like, really, really good. But it's also good.
Right.
I don't know.
It's exactly like Ridiculous Fishing was, where it's like, oh,
yeah,
if you can give this to anybody, they'll pick it up, play it, have a great time with it. But I think, you know, this one has a little bit more meat to it than something like that.
Well, the biggest problem with Ridiculous Fishing for me was you have to wait a lot in that game. Like, you if you fuck up, the time between when you can play again and, like, your fuck up is like a minute and a half, because you have to wait while the little lion comes back out of the water.
Yeah, but you're always doing something.
I guess so. Like, it just, for me, when I played that game, it felt like if I fucked up, there was, like, so little reward for continuing, I would have rather just literally quit the game and start it over.
Interesting. Well, you always can hook fish and make money, so that's...
It's true.
You goof on something, and you can always just, you know, buy more crap in the store.
Yeah, I mean, I love the concepts in that game. I just have kind of a fraught relationship with the amount of time you're forced to wait.
I can see
if
that.
You don't play optimally. And, like, eventually it comes to a point where money doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, why am I doing this?
Yep.
Why am I trying for this one fish in, like, the dark depths that if I don't get it, I get basically nothing because I've already bought everything.
And that's when you realize it's an iOS game and you can just walk away from it.
Yep, that's true, it's true. I want iOS to step in and, like, fill the shoes. Like, if portable gaming is really going to die, I want iOS to take over, to take the mantle. And I don't think Downwell necessarily does that, but it's a great game. So
yeah, it is.
All right.
What else we got here?
You got a whole bunch more big meaty stuff that I'm interested to hear about.
Oh, okay. Well, we both played Undertale.
We did both play Undertale.
I think you've talked about it before plenty.
Yes.
I finished it, and it's really good.
Yes! Yeah. I'm so excited that you like it.
Yeah. It might be, like, I don't know, it could be one of the best games this year. Easy.
Yep, it might be.
There's no question it's the best music. Like,
yeah,
quite
it might be my number
time.
One. Yeah. I'm not sure yet, but it's definitely on my list. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's a really good game. Everybody
should
play it.
It's a really good game. Yeah, it's so... I don't know. Like, it's so like effortless in its ability to just be like funny and charming and endearing. Like, mm-hmm. it's almost like they're not even trying. Even though I'm sure that the developer, Toby Fox, Toby Fox. I'm sure he really labored over the dialogue, but it feels so good. It, like, I played that game, and the whole time I'm just confident that it's not going to be dumb.
Yeah,
which is rare for me, but I'm confident.
And I kind of was in the situation where you had hyped it. I had, you know, everybody, the internet was all ablaze with it, and it, even going into it, my expectations were like, well, it's gonna be funny, right? And there were moments where I was, you know, like, uncontrollably laughing in front of my computer. So I think that it definitely does deliver on all those things that people are praising it for. And it is very worthwhile to stay spoiler-free with it. And
I agree, yep.
I don't know. It's just a really, aside from the neat things that it does and referential things that it does, it just is an interesting playing game, too.
Agreed. No, I definitely agree. The core, you know, it's got kind of that simplified, like, low graphics, Earthbound-y type battle system, but it's a very cool battle system.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it could be like Earthbound 3, 4, I don't know, Earthbound, like the next iteration of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, this guy, you know, his only other work is Earthbound hacks, so it really shows in a lot of ways. I mean, the dialogue and the writing, just really on point in that regard, kind of nails that kind of quirky, you know, it's kind of an overused word, but kind of the odd, like, endearing, you know, it's a lot of information is conveyed with a little, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's a game that isn't focus tested to shit, and
not at all.
Personality of the programmer is shown through it, and that personality is like, I love old JRPG style games.
Yeah, and there's literally even like a podcast where some Game Informer people interviewed him on their video podcast or whatever. And he was basically like, yeah, I play Super Nintendo RPGs. And they're like, do you play anything else? He's like, I guess Smash Brothers sometimes. It's like, okay, so I know what your influences are.
Yeah, it falls into the same camp of Shut Up and Jam, Charles Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden for me, where it's so referential and so wonderful, but then also such a novel and enjoyable game to play, except instead of just being like goofy, tongue-in-cheek, this one it's a little bit more serious, has a better message to tell than like, hey, what if Space Jam had a sequel that was gritty?
I mean, it's not, even though it was nominated in the Game Awards Games for Change, I don't really think it's a game for change, but it's a good game, and it's got like, it's very... You feel connected to that world.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
Yep. Certainly do. So yeah, go play Undertale. Everybody should play Undertale.
So glad you like it.
Yeah, it's really good. Let's see here. I guess we're getting into the big heavy hitters now at this point.
Yeah, you got a whole bunch of heavy hitters on there.
Yeah, so I played Assassin's Creed Syndication. And it's
Syndication.
Not terrible.
That's what I hear. I don't think it's selling in a way that represents its not terribleness.
No,
but
I mean, yeah, I think Assassin's Creed are like they run the Star Trek movie scenario where it's like every other one is good. Because what Unity was the one before and that was terrible. Black Flag was before that. That was good. Three was awful. And then, well, nobody believes that. What was the Assassin's Creed 2?
Unity? No, Revelations?
Yeah, Revelations was terrible, but that, did, in my opinion, didn't ever actually exist. Anyway, Assassin's Creed Syndicate was pretty fun. I mean, it was very much yet another Assassin's Creed game running around. You can be a lady or a dude. It doesn't really matter. Historical figures in London, blah, blah, blah. Alexander Graham Bell. It definitely is like it's filling that same form that was successful previous Assassin's Creed games.
Did the male model hype you?
The what?
Did the male model hype you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. He was paid to be there, though.
He set the tone.
Uh-huh. I guess it's not really worth talking too much about, I think. I mean, it's fine. It's more Assassin's Creed. They're making things easier for traversal. They're making things more interesting
for mission design.
I
heard they kind of scaled back on some of the more annoying mission types or something like that, right?
Yeah, like chasing dudes and, you know, spying on dudes. They're not there anymore.
That's good.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't really play enough after you didn't really know what's terrible about them.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that when I played Black Flag, I literally failed the first chase down mission like 5 times in a row.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Which is like the tutorial chase.
They suck. Those chase missions are awful.
I feel like if you don't like start with the appropriate momentum, mm-hmm. then you're just fucked.
Yep. And there's no catch-up moment. There's nothing that you can do to change that.
They just get away. Yep. That's it. You're done.
Yeah. Great. Excellent. Good job, game. I don't know. I can't really speak too much about. There's not, in my opinion, there's not much to say about Assassin's Creed. It's neat.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, they do some fun things like having
the grappling hook good.
The grappling hook is fine. It's like it just you're moving closer and closer to Batman traversal where there will be the next one. You will be able to jump and glide off buildings. Like you have to be able to do that eventually. Because what can you do next?
So AAA convergence continues basically.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I don't know. It's fine. You can play as a lady. That's a big deal. She has a personality and is not just a cipher for nonsense. I don't know. It's great. It works for what it's trying to do.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah. I'm excited to hear that it's getting a little better. I mean, I don't know. It sounds like it's not being rewarded, unfortunately, but
yeah.
If, but that's cool.
If there was no other games to just sink in copious amounts of time to play, I would be all over more Assassin's Creed, but
there
are other video games that are out right now that I can just just losing my life to.
Yeah. Hey, I have a quick question. Apparently Jamie is available. Should we bring him in here?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Hold on, let me let him know. Wanna join? He
would
said
you
he could
like
get in.
To cyber.
We would like to play. What if the commercial started with "We would like to play" and then ended in a ridiculous orgy?
Yeah.
It's like "We would like to play" to a lonely housewife.
With all each right. other's meat.
Okay, I asked him if he wants to join, so we'll see if he wants to get in.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey, you got some other stuff on here. A lot more than I do. I can say something, though. I checked out the Kara Blaster update.
Hmm.
I didn't play too much of it, but I started it out. Anyone who played the first... well, not the first, who played Kara Blaster mm-hmm. should check this game out, because it is not simply, like, enemy placement. It is new levels that are called, like, hard mode. It's really weird. I don't know why it wasn't hyped a little bit more, but it is just basically new levels altogether.
Yeah. Is this on the PC available, right?
Yes, it's come to Steam as well, but it's formerly it was an iOS game. Yeah. I think it might have been on like Desera or some other lesser platform.
Okay.
But now it's Steam available, so you know if that's where you get all your games, then you can go there. Mm-hmm. But it's fun. It's new stuff. It's very tough. I've died many, many times. But if you like Kara Blaster at all, and I've talked about Kara Blaster before, I think it probably holds up better on iOS because it's not like a It's one of those games that just, when it's purpose-built for the platform, it works. But, you know, when you play it on Steam, it feels small.
Right.
But it is a fun game. And this expansion is worthwhile. So.
Gotcha.
And with that, I'm actually going to bring Jamie in because he says he's good to join. How the fuck do I do that?
He's in.
Jack him into the Matrix.
Are you going to be able to record him, by the way?
Yeah, I'll be able to pull his audio in. It'll sound weird, but whatever.
All right. Pull the audio. All right, he's invited.
He's invited? Answer the phone. Answer the phone. Answer the phone.
Paging. Is that a mechanical keyboard guesting?
Paging Dr. James.
Dr. James. I'm going to call him Dr. James from now on. Okay. Or just Dr. J.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to ask him if everyone calls him Dr. J.
Dr. J.
All right. I guess he'll be coming at some point. Perhaps he'll just randomly pop up in the middle of a conversation.
Hopefully.
Tell me about Tales from the Borderlands. I heard that's good.
I will. And yes, I want to play more of Tales from the Borderlands. But again, time and all that.
Yeah.
But I played the first episode. It's interesting because you are playing as two different characters recounting the story that happened. So there are moments where you'll have one character interrupt the other and say, "No, that did not happen that way. That's ridiculous."
Hello.
Whoa.
Dr. J. Shay.
Dr. J.
Whoa.
Does everyone call you Dr. J?
People call me, I'm so tired. That's what people call me. Uh-huh. They just say, I'm so tired.
Dr. Jones.
And then I slap them.
Do you have a short round character in your office who you just keep around for awful stereotyping?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dr. James. Dr. James.
Oh my god, I just got that. That's how useful I'm going to be in this conversation. If you make Indiana Jones allusions for 30 seconds, I might catch on. What's up, guys?
No,
not too much.
No,
we're just talking about some Tales from the Borderlands that Griffin's played.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, that's old.
Yep.
Isn't that old?
Yeah, well,
you're so 2000 and late, Griff.
Yeah,
Jesus.
It came out this year completely.
Is it as good as Minecraft Story Edition?
Hard to say. I mean, it doesn't have Patton Oswalt, so.
Wait, is Patton Oswalt in story mode?
Yeah, he's
for Minecraft?
I think he's the main character.
Oh my fucking god.
Yeah.
I can't.
But I'll tell you quick here. What is great about Tales from the Borderlands, it is the fact that you have a character who has a gun, and in every like major climactic moment when you're playing as that character, you're given the option to pull out gun and shoot, but you only have one bullet, and that is persistent through the entire 5 episodes.
That's awesome. What?
So I was playing it and I made a decision to shoot somebody right at the beginning, and that completely changed what direction that game was going in.
That sounds awesome.
To a point where I was like, whoa, if I'm going to play more of this, I cannot do this. So I reset my save and replayed it.
No, you can't do that. That's cheating. You broke the story.
It is, but it was more like, I can't just use this one thing right at the beginning.
David Cage is so mad at you.
This MacGuffin cannot be used right at the beginning of the game.
Does it tell you?
I'm mad at you, Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know straight up that you'd only get one shot?
Yep, you get one bullet.
Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime, yo.
Is this Toby Keith?
Pretty much, yeah.
Can I speak to Toby?
Toby Keith, whatever. So that's really cool.
Yep.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's a great angle.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, that's actually kind of more than I would expect from Telltale in terms of their. So you don't usually have that kind of persistency across episodes. I feel like it'll be like, oh, I remembered that you did this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty bold.
Duck will remember that.
Yeah, exactly.
Duck.
And then
that
later
just
on,
ruins. It just ruins. They shouldn't do that. Like, I feel like when they do that, it sets them up for failure. Like, that happens all the time in Life is Strange, and it's like, then you're just waiting for that to come back.
Yeah.
And then it never does. And then you're like, well, I guess they, like, I don't know why they do that. They shoot themselves in the foot.
But
they still remembered. They didn't lie to you. They still remember. They just
nothing comes of it. Just everyone's passive aggressive.
But that's why I really like the Life is Strange mechanic of rewinding bits, because it would be like, so-and-so remembered that you said that. And you're like, nope, no, they didn't. And then you just rewind that out of existence. And I wish I could have that in every game.
That's pretty sweet.
That is really cool, though. So, any other cool stuff going on in Borderlands?
No, I mean, I'll play more of it eventually, but that's it. Let me see here. I'll talk to you quickly about Wasteland. This will be good. Wasteland 2, it was a Kickstarter game that came out for PC, and now it's available on console. It is, was it Brian Fargo, a dude who made original Fallout stuff or Wasteland or what have you. So this is very much like top-down, isometric, Baldur's Gate style, dice rolls, character leveling, like dice very rolls. Statistic heavy. I don't know. It's Fallout if you like the original Fallout games.
More like Waste of Time Land.
Yeah, Whoa. Kind of. Wasted Land.
Oh, he was wasted when he made it.
Ooh, boom! Okay. It does have a funny thing where you can get a game over title screen like in the first 5 minutes of it. So I appreciate that. Yeah. Nice. But really,
so
it's
not really. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't love it. It's kind of old. Like the dice rolls feel very unfair, and it just, I don't know, doesn't really go anywhere interesting with that.
Something that I struggle with. Old school CRPG type games is I feel like they seemingly don't understand like how to modernize the act of like interfacing with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point too. Did
you play it on console, Greg?
I did. I played it on PS4, okay. And it's like, nope, this should be a PC game. This doesn't work. Like I have to click the stick 3 times to detach the camera so I can scan this area.
Oh no.
But I'm always having to do that, and then I have to tab through my cycle through my list of characters to move them all around at one at a time, because if I move them as a group and I enter combat, then I'm automatically at a disadvantage. And it's like, yeah, this game is not ideal in this situation.
I feel like they could all take notes from like Final Fantasy Tactics and understand that you can do grid movement in a way that isn't like awful.
Yeah, you don't need to obscure the grid movement either. You don't need to trick me into thinking it's not a grid.
Yeah, it doesn't really. Yeah, I don't know why there's this big. I don't know. People seem to think that consumers won't tolerate certain things.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad, though, that you weren't really grabbed by it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. But I'll tell you what I was grabbed by: a little game called Yo-Kai Watch.
Nice.
Yo-Kai Watch.
It's one to watch.
Check it out.
Yeah.
It's not Pokemon, I'll tell you that. It doesn't play like Pokemon. It is certainly not Pokemon.
Nope.
It is a very cool game, though. the little monsters in the world are fun. The yokai. The battle mechanic is very novel and active, and it rewards... It's the opposite of Pokemon, where it's like, yeah, I just ran into this encounter, let me just mash this button until I scratch this thing to death and move on with my life. You can get into battle and it will play itself and you can walk away.
This is true.
Yeah, it's good for it.
You can also push the random buttons and then a bunch of shit happens.
That's true too.
Roll the wheel around.
Yeah, but all those things have reasons why you do them, and you don't really see that until you get to a major boss fight, and you're actually having to manage your party and use your abilities and stuff like that. So it's kind of, I think that this, I would hope that a lot of that is addressed in 2, and I really hope that we see 2. Like the little mini games that are going on while you're in combat, and the active, like, moving of the party members, and then having to, like, design your team based on their type and whatnot, all really falls away and you only see little glimpses of it. But then again, I don't want to do that, because that's what Pokemon is for. This is more of just, I want to play this game and be in this world and have fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't it not doing super, super well in Japan right now or something?
No, I think it's still headlining, like, best game ever, maybe?
Okay, maybe I was getting confused. I thought it had fallen off a bit.
I think that the most recent one, the Busters, wasn't doing gangbusters. So nice. That might be a little bit of a problem, but I also know that they haven't had like the next numbered Yo-Kai Watch out yet.
Just so you know, Jamie, Yo-Kai Watch Busters is literally Yo-Kai Watch crossed over with Ghostbusters.
Yeah, never going to come to America.
Yeah, like except with like no copyright infringement because Asian copyright laws.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually looks pretty adorable and fun.
Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. It's yeah. If not, just play the demo. If you don't want to go in, but it is a great little like so many games try to capture like that kind of Japanese feel. This I think is it has that same kind of Persona-esque nature to it, or Persona 4, where it's like, oh, this is actually quite nice and charming, and this makes me think of what I think. This kind of culture would be in this
Japanese small town.
Yeah, but I'm also really surprised by this game because it's not a small town. It's huge and it's sprawling.
Oh, really?
But you also, you know, get familiar with it pretty quickly.
Okay. You also have an intact family, which is unacceptable in a Pokemon clone.
Yes, you do. You have an intact family who actually...
Your dad cannot be present.
Yes. Yep.
I wanted to just jump over because I know, Jamie, you said you can't stick around too long. Did you want to talk about some stuff you tried out in the last couple?
No, it's cool. It's just my stress over school. But who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares, man?
How dare you? How dare you?
I'm here now. I'm living the dream. I'm just going to keep on living it.
Are you hooked on a feeling?
I'm hooked on a feeling.
Ain't that America?
What did you say? What are we talking about? What's going on?
Have you played any of them?
No. Yeah. I played... I beat the Life is Strange. I beat the Life is Strange. Sorry. Life.
Nice.
Right as... Now everyone's talking to me. The second that I'm expected to speak, all the people in my real life start talking to me.
I just want you to know that you're expected to speak right now, Jamie.
Yes.
The expectations are strong.
Yes, I played the game The Life is Strange. Have you heard of this? Do you know
I've
this
heard,
one?
I've heard of it. I've heard that it's kind of strange.
It's kind of strange.
Jamie, are you going to buy the collector's edition that comes with the soundtrack?
He totally is.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I want to.
Wait until it comes out, and then he'll buy it. Because I need to feel better about my own purchase. So I'm going to convince him to do it.
Don't worry, I just bought a 2K monitor, so you know. But I really liked that game a lot. I had higher expectations for it when I began the game in terms of it changing that genre. Like, I expected it to turn that genre on its head in some interesting ways because of the time travel mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
I won't, like, spoil it because you guys, I don't think either of you have finished it yet.
I haven't even started it. Griffin's played it.
Griffin, did you beat it? Griffin's dead.
I don't think he beat it yet. I think he played the first episode.
Okay. So, in the first episode and second episode of that game, it sets up some interesting things, and it makes you believe that it's going to take the time travel mechanic in certain directions that it, you know, inevitably, much like most of these games, it never does. So it never fulfills on the original promise of the time travel mechanic.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't matter. And knowing that going in, you'll probably be in a better position to just enjoy the game. And the game's writing is fantastic. The acting is great. Like, I didn't know that Ashley Birch was one of the main characters until just now because she got a nomination for the Game Awards.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you go into the game and you're excited about how they seem to be setting up the time travel mechanic in the first episode, then you might be let down. But if you just go into the game and you just if you enjoy the atmosphere of the game, which you're... You know, you'll know whether you want to spend time in that world in the first 30 seconds. If you like it,
the moment that an indie rock song pops on,
exactly.
Yeah, no, that's right, because that is the
certain glasses comes into frame.
That is the title sequence, right? When you're walking down the hallway, and that like it's the most fucking like ripped from the Garden State soundtrack sounding music.
Exactly.
That's playing. I'm like, oh, here we go. I guess.
Basically, if you liked Garden State. you'll like this game. But no, so the game, even though the game never fully delivers on the promise of that time travel mechanic, what it does do is it actually offers huge differences in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So huge that I said, this can't be, no, like this is definitely a scripted event and it doesn't matter how you got here. This is going to happen the same way. One of those things happened at the end of the first episode. And then at the end of the first episode, when it shows you like what you chose and what the, you know, majority of your friends chose and what everyone else chose, the thing that I thought must have been a scripted event that could not be, that could be unavoidable, was a choice.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh,
wait,
that's weird.
I didn't catch, I played the first episode and I guess I wasn't hit with that. What, can you talk around what it was to remind me?
It was the death of a character.
I guess I didn't have that.
So you didn't have that character die, probably.
Nobody died.
Yeah, see, I had someone die. Exactly. This is what I'm talking about. I had someone die in the first episode.
Huh.
In your arms, and... Janae? Sorry.
Not quite.
I don't know why I said that. Go on.
And I thought, wow, this is like significant. Like, the denouement after that happens seems to be changing the direction of this game in a permanent way. So this must have been something that happens for everyone.
Hmm.
And no,
couldn't you just rewind that moment and save
it? No, you can't. You can't for story reasons. You can't rewind this moment.
Oh.
Jeez, I don't remember that.
And so then I was like, huh, that's weird. And then you just start the next episode. And if that character died in the first one, they're not there and the story's different. If they didn't die, if they, you know, so it just changes. It's just persistent. It's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
But that character is kind of, I really don't want to give away support. That character is not as important as something that happens in episode either 2 or 3, where something major happens to a very main character to such an extent that it drastically would change the game. Again, I thought, there's no way that you could have these both be the same or both be different options, because they would literally just have to make the next episode twice.
Uh-huh.
That's how big of a difference it would make. And no, it is a choice, and the next episode is significantly different depending on what you did. The kind of unfortunate thing is at the end of the game, at the end of 5 episodes, you all end up at the same place.
Okay.
And the 5th episode is extremely linear. But I think they have to be applauded for the different routes that they give you, you know, in between the first and the 5th episode.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the ending is more or less linear,
mm-hmm.
I think what they did in the middle, in the meat of the game, is really cool. Unfortunately, it doesn't necessarily involve the time travel mechanic that much. It's just an interesting kind of turn of plot that could have happened otherwise.
Hmm.
I feel like at the very least, it's cool that that this game is good, because I feel like if any company needs a fire under its ass, it's Telltale.
Oh. Yeah, like, that's true.
Some competition in this space is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
It sucks that it doesn't deliver on the time travel, but you always can do it, right? Like, you can always redo choices.
Not always, as I...
Well, as you said, yeah, as you said before. But, like, it's that mechanic persists throughout all 5 episodes, right? Like, where you can change certain decisions.
Exactly.
Maybe it's not integral to the plot, but it's still there.
I was saying earlier, to me, it really makes that, like, it bucks the trend that Telltale set forth, where it's like, so-and-so will remember that, and you're like, no, they won't, because I'm redoing this shit.
And what's actually cool is that the plot itself mirrors how the game mechanic is used by you throughout the episodes. And mm-hmm. by that I mean the story for 4 out of 5 episodes is you trying to prevent something from happening that you are just finding out is completely unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you do, no matter how you change time, this thing keeps happening. It doesn't keep happening in the same way.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't keep happening in the same place or same time,
huh.
but it keeps, this core plot event keeps happening. And so by the 5th episode, you realize this, and you realize that you're not helping.
So it's Final Destination.
So it's Final Destination. And then the 5th episode, you're kind of stripped of that ability.
And then the logs crush you no matter what.
No matter what happens. It is actually kind of like that, but somehow it doesn't suck.
Aren't all games kind of like Final Destination?
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's cool though. I really want to try it out before the year ends because I feel like it'll be good enough to make a list or something. It sounds really interesting.
There's a lot of things. It's not. It's not exciting. It's not groundbreaking.
I would disagree with you there. I'd say that that rewind mechanic is pretty revolutionary.
Yeah, oh, you're right. You're right. But I would say that it's not used to my liking.
Oh,
it wasn't
I gotcha.
Used to its full potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that the writing and the acting was superb. However, Shannon, who watched me play the game, thought that the writing was stilted and the acting was terrible. So I'm sure that's, you know, up to your personal tastes.
I meet you in the middle there. I thought the writing was fine. The acting was terrible.
All right, then.
So, you know, but I think it's worth a shot. It's kind of like Gone Home. If you're going to like it, you'll probably know right away.
Mm. All right. I'm excited to play that game. You've definitely stoked my interest in that, Jamie.
So. Yeah. Jamie, you sold me on Fables last year, so I trust your instinct when it comes to adventure games, so I need to finish it just to honor that.
There was a pregnant sigh when you said I sold you on Fables.
I thought he loved Fables.
Okay, yeah, it was one of my top five games of the year, I think.
Nice, nice. Okay, good.
Yeah, great soundtrack, too.
Never played more than the free demo.
Fair enough. So, should we all converge on the final subject here of Fallout 4?
Yes, but I want to say one thing.
Okay.
Before we do, finally, it took me a year, beat Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Checking in.
And checking in, I still just love that game. I can easily see myself replaying that entire game.
Jamie, are you going to beat Final Fantasy VII next?
Nope. And that's really all I have to say about it. I actually will agree with you a little bit, Griffin. I'll go ahead and say that the main story in Dragon Age Inquisition is lackluster, but it's not bad in my opinion. It's not what you're going to remember about the game.
Sure.
I'm going to remember the character interactions and all the tiny moments. I don't care about. I mean, Corypheus is pretty cool, but like,
he's not that cool.
He looks cool.
He looks cool, but he's pretty much just a generic bad guy.
Exactly. So I'll agree. I'll agree with you there. I will say that. Oh God, I love every minute of that game.
Hmm.
So good.
It has really good lore. I have to say, the lore is great. The character building is really good.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
So sorry. Now we can talk about the other.
No, that's great. No.
Quick thing. The new Binding of Isaac.
No, I just have one question for you, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Why what?
Why is it a good game?
We're doing the game of the year debate again.
Why are you enjoying it so much?
That's
not a real question. Please don't.
I think I really enjoy.
That.
I like the. I think the combat is actually great. I really enjoy being a. I chose to be a war. What do they call it? Like a wizard.
Grey Ward man.
No. I'm a wizard, but my super special wizardness means that I get to get up in people's faces and be a wizard.
Oh.
And that's really fun.
Battle mage?
Face wizard.
I guess I'm a battle mage. So I have these cool abilities, like I turn invisible, and then I run inside of enemies, and then when I turn uninvisible, they explode.
Oh, nice.
You blow them up, yeah.
You're the end of the Matrix.
Yeah, I'm the end of the Matrix. That's hella fun. I think the environments are... Like, I just love exploring those environments. They're so beautiful. They're so intricate. There's so much to find.
I will say that it does kind of, at times... it kind of gives way to, like, MMO trappings, which can be a little bit exhausting sometimes. But I think that there's still so much good, like, meat in that game. Like, it's so much good plot story stuff. Not so much, like you said, the main quest, but like the characters, you're really rewarded, like even for stupid shit, you're rewarded with fun and interesting character development. So
exactly.
Even though it can be a slog sometimes, I think it's a really fun world to be in.
The game provides you with so many opportunities to persistently have like a character whose motivations are consistent.
Hmm.
So like if you want to be merciful, even with these terrible bad guys who are like main story bad guys, you can get missions to bring them back to your castle and have them imprisoned as opposed to murdered, or have them work for you.
Mm-hmm.
I love the throne things. Judging people is probably the best part of that game.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so good.
Hmm.
You know, if you want people, if you meet these like ancillary characters who are like representative of larger factions in the game, and if you disagree with the way they do things, you can say get out of my face, and if you like the way they do things, you can say join the Inquisition.
Say get into my face, I'm a wizard.
Get into my face.
Get into my crotch. Only for the main characters.
So,
hey, well, speaking of a slog with unrewarding characters, let's talk about Fallout 4.
Wait, before we do that.
No spoilers.
Spoilers, everyone dies.
Spoilers, you set the world on fire.
World anyway. What?
Spoilers, you set the world on fire.
No, that's the last game.
Ah, damn it.
Quick thing, Afterbirth. It's War Binding of Isaac, and it's fun.
Yeah, nice. Jeff, I watched my friend pick up Binding of Isaac on his second time playing it at my house and just completely destroying the whole thing, getting to the treasure chest level in one go.
Holy shit, he got to the chest?
Unlocked
the chest?
I don't do crap in that game. He comes over and he plays Binding of Isaac, and he has his first run is like the greatest one ever done in the history of runs, and that's it.
Okay. That's amazing.
He's very good at that game.
I was going to say a couple things about that game. First of all, crazy ARG that just concluded that I sent to you guys involving going out in the real world and digging up a tiny little idol and then entering a code and going to a Twitter page and crazy stuff like that. Super cool.
Oh, sorry. Let me interject here. Speaking of going out into the wild and digging up a tiny idol, I got my Iron Yoshi.
Nice.
I saw that butt.
Yeah, it's a good butt.
That ami-butt.
Yep.
Other quick thing about Afterbirth, it has a new mode called Greed Mode, which is interesting. It allows you to like plan your builds a lot more, because all you do is you stand in a room, push a button, and fight enemies, and you get a lot of money, and then you kind of get to sort of choose what types of items you want to buy to make your build. Very interesting little mode that enhances the game. If you guys like Afterbirth at all, or Rebirth at all, you should probably check it out, but I don't know if you guys are crazy enough to want to go down the DLC Binding of Isaac path.
Hold on, I'm confused because I'm not in this world. It's not a separate game.
It's a DLC. I think it launched at like $6.66, but it's $10 now, I think.
Oh, okay.
But it adds 120 new items. Two new.
What characters. If I played? Ugh. Sorry, go on.
A new mode, new variations of floors. Like every floor has a new like challenge variant. Like instead of the basement, it's the burning basement and the flooded caves and the dank depths.
What's the poop one? What's nice. The poop one? Highbrow.
The poop one?
Highbrow.
Wait, what?
Isn't there a challenge called Highbrow where everything is you only have poop weapons and everything is like a poop enemy?
Oh, possibly. Yeah, there are new challenges. Yeah, it's fun though. But Jamie, what were you going to ask me? Sorry.
I was going to ask you. So, advice specifically from me, someone who played Binding of Isaac like a hot minute, really liked it, but never seem to get around to it. Should I like get this DLC and then try again, or should I just try again? And if I like it, then get the DLC.
You probably try again, and then if you like it, get the DLC. It really is kind of more of a good thing. You'll get new items right off the bat if you get the DLC, but it doesn't like fundamentally make the game a different game. It just enhances the game in a lot of ways. It's the typical Edmund McMillan update. It's like a game that was already way too big is just even bigger.
Nice.
But I've happened to really like this game, so as opposed to Meat Boy, which I wasn't crazy about.
Yeah.
I've been playing Meat Boy, though. That game's good. I never got past the second world in that game. Now I'm in the fifth one.
Oh, wow.
And
when will you give up this time?
The fifth one's the last one.
Oh, is it really?
Well, there's like two bonus worlds.
Quote-unquote last one.
Hey, speaking of giving up on a game, should we talk about Fallout 4?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Do
it. Good. Yeah, that game came out.
I think we all have different feelings about this game. So
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what do you think about this game, Griffin? Not great? Tell me more.
I got so frustrated last night. Now, granted, this was like 2 o'clock in the morning, so it may have been a little like tired-induced as well. But this game is so buggy that I just, like, I heard tell of it on the podcast, like, oh, don't play it on anything because it's buggy, right? Okay, yeah, whatever. All Fallout games are. Deal with it. But no, I got a quest that was like, this girl lost her cat. She needs to, you need to get the cat back. And I'm like, oh my god, this is too real. So I ran to the cat with the quest marker, and it was like, oh, the quest marker is on the entrance to the location you need to go into. And I'm like, okay, so where's the cat? And it's like, well, it's right here, dummy. And it's like, no, that's the entrance to the thing, the location I was just in. So I go in, and it's like, okay, you got to go back outside. That's where the quest marker is now. And I'm like, no. Like, the cat is not within the threshold of the doorway to this location.
The cat is in the door. Yeah, just get it out of the door.
Yeah, it's like Schrodinger's cat. Like, is it in the door? Is it not in the door? Nobody knows, because you can't be in the door. So
the funny thing is, you're playing on PS4, right?
I am.
Okay, I'm on PC, and I have had so far one bug.
Or let me finish with this story here.
Literally,
quick.
My gun doesn't appear sometimes.
Let me finish this. So I'm okay. Like, I'm really, like, it's very late. I'm very agitated, and I'm like, oh, man, this is, like, missing cat, like, really pulling at the heartstrings here. So I'm like, I have to get this cat. I was, like, looking it up online, so I'm like, okay, how do I find the cat? And then the guides are like, just go to the marker on the map. Duh, idiot. Like, you talk to the person, you get the marker, and you go to the marker. And I'm like, no, yeah. There's no marker. It's in the freaking doorway. So I then am like, okay, fine. I guess the only option I have is to restart. So I reload my save before the whole catastrophe, and then I am like, okay, so I'm going to retry everything and see if the marker pops up. No, it does not. The marker is still absent, still says doorway is where you should be. So I say, no, you're not real. Restart again. So then you can see the cat running out of the location. So I'm like, I'm going to follow you, bitch. So I follow the cat. And I'm following the cat. I'm watching it. Like, we both exit. We both go through the doorway. And I'm just running alongside it. It goes into bushes, disappears. I'm like, great. Okay. Now what? So did it fade out of existence, or did I just not see it? So I go back, try to initiate the quest, and then there's like a prelude to the quest, which is a quest of a tour. You have to take a tour of a location, and it is like very AI, like it is a escort quest essentially, where this person is just walking around. You follow them, and he's like, oh, check out this thing. I'm like, great, get on with it. So I walked away from my controller, or walked away from the controller for like a second. Like, I stepped away, and then he walked in a direction, and it was like, quest failed. You did not follow him on his tour. I'm like, I can still see him. He's in eye shot. I could probably touch him. He's in throwing distance. So
that sucks.
It's like, I'm like, okay, great. So I needed to do that quest to progress on to the cat quest. So then I'm like, okay, perfect. Reset. Retry this again. So now I follow the cat out of the building. I'm running alongside it. I see where it goes into the bushes, and I'm like running in there, Pip-Boy light on, and just hunting it down. Finally, I get to the cat. I see where it stops at a location that was not on the map marker. There was no map marker for it whatsoever. So I'm like, okay. Yeah, I gotcha. So I talk to the cat. I engage with the cat, and this is the best part. Your character says, Ashes, go home. Aaron misses you. And these are two things that my character has yet to encounter in this reality. We don't know who Aaron is. We also don't know that the cat's name is Ashes. But somehow, like, like reality breaking, this man just had like a super stroke and issued a series of words that worked so well that
it's the cryo freezing process.
Yeah. So okay. So the cat runs back home. I run back into there. I take the tour, and then the tour ends with you meeting this person, and they're like, "Oh, this is Erin. She's my friend." And she's like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sad. My cat ran away. I'm so scared." Is what she would normally say, and she's like, "Can you go find my cat?" And that would then initiate the cat quest. But since I had already done that and sent the cat back, I already got the quest completion marker for it. I get back, and then he's like, well, this is Aaron. And then her dialogue of the quest completion is overrunning on top of him explaining that this is her friend. And she's like, oh, I'm so glad he's back. Thank you so much. Like, this is such a freaking disaster.
That's an amazingly bug quest line right there.
It is.
I was going to say, I've had no bugs except for that one with the gun. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Oh, I had some great bugs. You saw
my
bugs.
You did have some good bugs. Jamie had some great bugs.
Did you tell Griffin about my bugs?
No.
Tell me about your bugs.
So, I thought that I would... I got it on PS4, and then I was like... I heard all these people saying that it run really poorly on PS4, so I actually got a refund for a pre-order on a PS4, which is actually easier than you might think.
Huh.
And so I got the refund, got it on PC... my PC that I built and have not updated at all since late 2010, early 2011, thinking this will be fine. And so I started playing it, and all my characters had blackface on.
It wasn't like blackface. It was like staring into the darkness of your soul.
No face.
Oh man!
Like their faces were just gone, replaced with like the deepest, darkest black holes with eyes, and it was amazing and terrifying all at once. And yeah, it forced me to get a new graphics card.
It forced you. But have you had bugs with the new card?
No, I've had zero bugs whatsoever. Even doing things that are supposed to break the game, like turning VSync off and things like that, I've had no problem. Turn VSync back on because it works better with a controller, but overall I've been pretty impressed. I think that it's unfortunate. It seems like consoles, it's like I really think these consoles just can't handle this game. It's amazing because it's kind of early in the console cycle, but
yeah, it does. I mean, it's Bethesda, basically. You know, their console development has never been great with on the bug front. I mean, I don't know how bad it is or isn't. You know, like
when you have a game that's just doing so much, of course there's going to be things that crop up. Like I'm always amazed when I spawn into a location. It's like, oh, these bodies are still here from when I fought them at the beginning of the game. That's crazy. Yeah. Like, why will they not just disappear? Can I throw them? Can I throw them into the river or something? I want them to go away.
You can do that if you want to throw them in the river.
I cannot figure out how to pick people up, pick up objects.
Hold the pickup button.
Oh, is that it?
Yep.
Oh, well, there we go.
But anyway, unfortunately, they don't do the greatest job of telling you how to do certain things.
No.
I was going to say, that engine, people give it a lot of shit because it doesn't look, like, super amazing all the time, but it is a very powerful engine.
Yeah.
It is the only engine I'm aware of that can, like, spawn a gazillion objects and not just go completely to its knees, so.
Yeah.
It has its purposes. I was going to say, it sucks that particular quest is bugged. Hopefully it's not as bad with other quests going forward, Griffin. How do you find the minute-to-minute gameplay?
Fine. It's probably the most redeeming part of the game for me is like just doing the exploration, doing the combat moments and being engaged with that stuff. I think the main story and the questing and like the world expansion and like the base building, all that stuff is just ham-fisted, I think, is not a good description, but it's just poor. Like, it's just uninteresting
at best.
It's
complex. Yeah. Well, it could be interesting, but I wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, so, like, when I was playing, like, to compare it to Fallout 3, like, it felt like there were, you know, there was the main story, which did a good job of bringing you to new locations, which would then, you know, expand the web of interesting activities you could do, and then you'd go on to the next one, rinse, repeat. I feel like this is trying to follow suit with that, but it's like a poor facsimile of Fallout 3. Like it's lacking in the personality. Maybe it's I just don't care about Boston, and you know, being engaged in a DC world is more interesting, or the fact that you're like this character who stuff happened to, and you're like, well, I guess I could tell myself now this is the way that I'm behaving, but that may not make any sense whatsoever to that real character. Whereas in Fallout 3, you were much more of like a blank slate with an interesting background, and this is more...
I'm not crazy about your origin story, so to speak.
Yeah, me either.
It's a little too me much neither. Characterization, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, too much?
Too much, yeah.
I don't like the origin story, but I think it's like too little, like it's... You're in the vault for a hot second, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Your vault experience is quite limited. I guess I don't.
I like it because the vault is a different vault than what we've seen before in any other game.
Yes, it is. I agree with that. My problem with it is I don't want to have motivations that are inescapable. Like I don't want my character to be so predefined. When I play these games, I want to have basically a blank slate. And I feel like kind of throughout the game, this is like the big weakness for me. And I love the exploration elements. I think it definitely feels like Skyrim in a Fallout world, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dungeons are very Skyrim. The exploration feels very Skyrim. But and that's fine because that was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
But the like actual act of role playing seems greatly diminished. Like, you have this story, this background, and you don't really have that much in the option of how to define your character through dialogue. Like, you don't, all your choices are just like yes, no, tell me more, sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It's just, it feels so limited. And I am trying to go to, like, I went the charisma build. And
yep, me too.
I appreciate having, like, persuasion options. And I kind of like how you can fuck them up even if you're good at charisma. I like that that's not shown to you. I like that you don't get an exact number. I think it gives you a little bit more kind of immersive feel to the role playing. But
okay.
Can you have it actually be shown to you?
No, I was going to say it's too far in that direction where it's like, I don't know. Like, it's a yellow text instead of green. So I'm like, does that mean that it's that this is different? So that's using what skill, what is prompting this to be different? And then
I think it just means it's harder. It's just, you know, you're less likely to succeed. But
and then sometimes it's red. And I'm like, okay, so does that mean it's an instant failure? Or what is that? Because I've never failed a yellow situation. And I've also never failed a red situation. I'm like, what does this mean? Yeah.
How deep did you go on charisma?
I think I'm now max. with how much I put into it, I'm 9 points in.
Okay. I'm at 7, and I've actually failed quite a few oranges. Mm. I've passed a bunch as well. It seems to just be a percentage chance is how I look at it. And okay. I think you do better at the darker ones if you have a high charisma stat.
Hmm.
I actually kind of like that. What I don't like is I just don't feel like there are a lot of options for how to play your character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so far it seems like charisma is like, give me more money, give me more money, give me more money.
Yeah, pretty much. Or, you know, do a quest faster. Like,
right.
Find out the information you need without having to talk to three or four people.
Yeah, and I think that that a lot of people really deride like karma systems in games where it's like, oh, you're doing the bad thing, so that means you're a bad guy now. Like, where's the gray? But I think this game really suffers for not having something like that, because, you know, it's like, yes, I could do the charisma route and screw somebody out of money, but I don't, like, I feel
it feels
like
hollow.
It does.
It feels
it's hollow. Like, it's like, yeah, okay, so now I have more money, but that's it? Like, that's, now I just have to live with that? Is that the real karma system?
I guess. Well, your companions can get pissed at you. Like, I have Codsworth, because Codsworth is great for the most part.
Yeah, I don't keep companions.
I kind of want to get rid of him to some degree. Like, he's great for holding shit. Mm-hmm. But he'll get pissed at you, like, if you steal shit. He'll be like, I don't like that. Stop it.
Whereas other ones will like that you're stealing stuff. Or like that you tried to steal and succeeded in stealing something, and dislike that you tried and failed.
That's cool. I like that. I like that. But yeah, that's been my experience so far. But I only just hit Diamond City. And I've really enjoyed the exploration. I think the combat is actually pretty fun, too. A lot of cool weapons. And I'm really enjoying modding my weapons as well, oddly enough. But Jamie, where do you fall? I think you're pretty up on the whole thing, right?
Yeah, I love it pretty much.
Regardless, I agree with you, Jamie. Where it's just so much fun to just play and
I agree,
be in
yeah.
this world.
No. I think we're all there, but just the minor details we all kind of disagree a little bit on.
Exactly. I guess I'll start with my criticisms. I think that if you're going to make the main character talk and you're going to make them have a backstory that's persistent and like an anchoring point for the entire story, then flesh it out a little bit more.
That's true, Jamie.
Don't just have the baby get taken and then that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, we could have had half an hour in the town and we could have had half an hour in the vault. And then I think that it would be a much richer and much more rewarding experience as opposed to 5 minutes in the town, 5 minutes in the vault.
I think you're right. They didn't go one way or the other. That's kind of the problem.
Yeah. What else is a criticism? I mean, it is janky. It's a janky game. My characters were in blackface. It was terrifying, and I had to upgrade my computer. And it's especially annoying for PC users when certain games that are well optimized, your system will just destroy, and then certain games that are not optimized, it will bring your system to its knees, and it's just that's frustrating. It's like, you guys didn't put in the work that these other developers did, and because of that, I need to spend money to make my game work. Mm-hmm. It's that in and of itself is a little annoying, but that's a PC problem. That's a first world problem. Yeah. That's a great problem to have.
Do you find performance to be iffy with your card, Jamie? Because you have like a 970, right?
No. Now it's
yeah. Now because it actually runs really well on my system.
Yeah,
it just
yeah,
like
yeah.
Medium high, and I was really impressed. It's not been that stuttery. So
No. Anyway, yeah, now it's perfect. And you know, you don't need to spend a lot to get there. It's just if you have a computer that's half a decade old like me, you might need to spend a little bit, but
that's a lot.
That's a lot. No, it does not have an SLI profile, which is another reason. If it did, I might not have needed to upgrade it.
Yeah, probably.
And that's something that like a developer, I've read about that kind of thing. That's something that a developer can make and throw in like half a day. And the fact that they didn't do that, and it's probably going to be 6 months, 9 months before that comes out, that's infuriating also. Mm-hmm. But whatever. They've got limited resources, I understand. But in terms of what I just like everything that I've liked about Fallout 3. Like, it's basically, except it's just a little better. It's like, it's, nothing I say is going to be particularly smart or witty. Like, it's, I like the exploration. I think they made the gunplay better. It's like, it's all stuff that you've heard before.
I think the characters look pretty great, actually, even though they're kind of robots when they move. They look beautiful.
Yeah.
I think the world looks really nice. I really don't mind the graphics even a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful game. I like. I'm not doing anything optional right now. I'm just going through the story, and I just take companions as they come. So I have had two main story companions. Jeff, have you gotten to Diamond City yet?
I have, and I just got to somebody who I think you mentioned, the detective agency. I haven't found him yet, though.
Okay. And okay. Griff, have you?
I'm at the same point as Jeff. Like I've been engaged in Diamond City, but not progressing the
okay so like anymore. The first, so you get the newspaper girl in Diamond City, which you guys have met. Uh-huh. She's slightly interesting. The first real interesting companion you'll get is that detective. Mm-hmm. I won't say anything more. He's cool. Awesome.
Okay.
And he's like, he gives the game a flair and a spin that I think is what they're going for, but it's kind of weird that he's the first time that you see it in the game.
I do think that sorry to cut you off, Jamie. I think the beginning of the game doesn't serve it super well because, like, you're just like wandering around like this kind of bleak nothingness with not that many enemies, not that much to see, not that many enterable buildings. Oddly enough, it's just like very limited.
Mm-hmm.
For, like the first hour or two as you make your way towards Diamond City, and you're like, "Is this what Fallout is?" Like, I seem to recall like finding people. There just aren't any. Just everywhere.
I think.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to jump in here quick and just say that I have different qualms with the beginning of that game, and that's they do a tutorial essentially, which has never been done to this degree, where it's like, okay, so what are the improvements? Like Jamie said, the exploration, the combat, like that whole thing, like the characters, the environment, and I think that what you do is when you enter that that building and you engage with the Minutemen guy, and then you get the power armor or whatever, and then they throw that super badass enemy into the mix, and you're like, oh man, like I'm crazy overpowered, this is incredible. And it's like that moment encapsulates everything that I don't care about Fallout for.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout 4-4, because it's like, okay, I don't play the game for the shooting, like I liked it when time's paused. I played everything with VATS. Like, I never aimed on sights. That's not how I play this game.
I agree. Yeah, my power armor has been sitting in Sanctuary since I got it.
Yeah, exactly. And then you throw this super enemy into the mix, and it's like, okay, so now I'm going to focus all my effort on this. I essentially can't lose, and then something steals the kill from me, so I don't get credit for it. Great, excellent, great game there. And then you're also...
It feels very demo showpiece. It's like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
The story in 10 minutes. Fight the Deathclaw.
Yeah, and then the individuals in this building that you've just been engaging with are the most paper thin, uninteresting, lawful good people in the entire world.
Hmm. It's a weird way to start. I definitely feel that way.
Yeah, I dislike that quite a bit.
But out of the hinterlands, if this character that I have is any indication of where the game is going, then I have a lot of excitement about it. I hope that he's like the first taste of where the game is going. I hope it's not like he's an isolated incident. Hmm. So we'll see.
I do get the feeling the game is like a grower, not a shower.
Nice.
I mean, that's... I'm kind of in this... I'm hoping for the same thing, because they allude to the Institute and like the whole...
That's cool.
Android
yeah.
portion of it, which was the really like the coolest quest of Fallout 3 and what all that meant and all the allusions to cyberpunk stuff that I really enjoy. So I'm that is the part that I'm most excited for and to get going into. I'm just trying to mop up what I have of it, like open at the moment in Diamond City, and then I want to run over and check out what that place is.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the synths I think will be cool. I'm sure Bethesda will do it super ham-fisted, but
oh yeah, of course.
The idea of androids that look like humans, I mean, you can't fuck that up too bad.
Yeah.
You can't. And I really like the way that they're going with that. So I have a character now who is an android. I'm not going to tell you who he is or what he is. I'll just tell you that I have one who's an android. And I really like the way that he is kind of dealing with the fact that he's an android, but sometimes we're fighting androids. He's like, and I really like the fact that he's not dealing with it. For some reason, I would kind of expect at this point in a Western RPG game where there's like, you know, a lot of spent on story and stuff. Like I was waiting for him to have like a crisis of conscience about what we're doing. And instead he's like weirdly blasé about it. And I really like that. It kind of reminds me of like 90s RPGs where terrible shit happens and everyone's just like, all right.
Yeah,
let's just keep going.
Well, my story beat is over. Now yep. I don't care anymore.
Okay, that's really interesting. Is it done, do you think, on purpose, or is it because your companions have very little say in what's going on in the story around you?
I don't want to give anything away. I'll let you decide that for yourself. You're pretty close to experiencing where I am. So
okay.
I feel like another actually little minor grievance is I talk to my companions, and this is just shows the limitations of the dialogue system again. It's like I want to have a conversation with them. But all you can do is go, your thoughts or our relationship?
Yeah.
And it's like you used to be able to talk about your companion's backstory and learn about them.
Yeah, it's pretty thin.
Why has that been excised? It's all in the service of spoken dialogue. It's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And that irritates me because I didn't really need it. I don't need a main character with a voice.
No, no. And especially the weirdest thing is when you walk up to people and prompt them to talk and you just go,
Oh, yeah.
Anna. You've never told me your name, but Anna.
Yeah. I hate that. Yeah.
Conversation with you.
Yeah.
I actually, even though like it's
Ashes,
it's
go home. Aaron misses you.
Well, even though it's like it's you maybe don't know their name. I actually kind of like when he's like, "Hey, you," you know, and he calls them by name. It's kind of endearing, but I just wish they hadn't. I don't know. I didn't feel like it was necessary to do this particular thing, and I know it's to kind of compete with Bioware and those types of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean it's obvious with the dialogue jammer, which I've kind of flirted with keeping on and turning off. My favorite thing is when your companion just blocks the dialogue jammer completely.
Just photobombs the crap out of it. Yeah. I actually, in terms of that, the thing that I really do enjoy about Fallout 4, the direction they made, is when there's an event happening, like when characters are engaged around you and you walk up to them and you try to talk to them, it's like, oh, this character is involved or is unavailable to talk, and then it'll shift the camera to the scenario that's happening, and I'm like, oh, that's a really well way. So I'm not just like doing the Half-Life 2 thing where I'm like bouncing across the computer terminals and kicking over all the coffee cups as the guy's like explaining time dilation, and you're like, okay.
But you can actually, if you turn that off, you actually can like do stuff while you're being talked to.
Yes, but
only continues when you turn back to them.
Yeah. I'm talking about less of when you're not involved with the conversation, when there's two entities that are having a discussion and then you're just kind of observing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just of two minds about whether or not it's my favorite thing to have the dialogue camera. It doesn't feel super Fallout. Like, I like because they actually look cool now, so that's kind of nice. But I don't know. Like I said, I've kind of flirted with leaving it on and turning it off because it does just feel so blatantly like they're trying to kind of get on the BioWare train.
Yeah.
And hey, well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, treat yourself before you turn it off completely and have a conversation in power armor because it's hilarious.
I will.
I did that. It was terrible.
Uh-huh.
The power armor looks awful up close.
Yeah, and the camera focuses on like the right shoulder because it doesn't know, like you're technically at that height.
I was gonna say when they try to imitate BioWare, they're at their worst. They should just play to their strengths. I don't know why there is this. It's just a AAA convergence again. It's like they did a lot of cool things. I don't know why they wouldn't lean into those as opposed to trying to homogenize and pick up some of the other stuff. So it's, you know, it's. I still really am having a great time playing it, but there are a lot of issues that I'm having. But I think it'll. I think if you look at it like from a big perspective in terms of like the modding scene, I think this iteration of the engine will be amazing for mods. So that's going to be cool.
Yeah, it's already. I mean, they put David Ortiz in it. It's awesome.
Oh, that's so good. You watched that video?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's so funny.
Huh. I have not seen that. No.
I'll send it to you, Griff. It's okay. Really funny.
Yeah,
it spoils that Diamond. It spoils what Diamond City is. Because I did not know what Diamond City was. Do you guys both know what Diamond City is?
Yeah.
It like, tells you as you're going in. It's like, hey, the Fens. You're in Fenway.
I didn't even see that. I found out when I was in there and the mayor is having a talk in front of the green monster.
Yep.
That's how I found it.
Me too.
I want to learn more about like the stadium seats. Apparently indicating status or something. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, just go up there. You can just go up there.
Yeah, go up there, but it's a pain. Like, it is so poorly navigable in this location.
Navigable.
The I don't know. I get lost in that place still.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. Griffin, I'll 100% agree with you there. If you're going up to the stands with a companion, you have to take this elevator, and the companion inevitably stands in front of the button.
Yep. Or I was running around with a dog for quite some time, and then I was just like, I can't have you here anymore. Like, you need to go. And one of the things that did it was, like, whenever I have conversations, I see dog in the background, and for some reason, it likes to find objects, and then it'll try and walk on top of it, but instead, it just sits at a 45-degree angle to the ground, like, pointing up into the air, as if gravity no longer exists, and
dog
I'm like,
found
I can't do this anymore. And just that,
dog
that
found object.
Yeah, the that elevator was part of the problem too. Like, the dog was on the edge of it, and dog, the retractable platform retracted, and then dog was like at face level with me because it had gained 4 feet in size. I also recorded an amazing video of dog having like Terminator 2 moment, but. I'll see if I can get that thing up.
This game is full of Terminator 1 moments, because that's what the synths look like, basically. They're all just Terminators.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah.
They look more like, what's that movie that came out recently?
Ex Machina?
Yeah, no. They look more like her.
I haven't seen that, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
God,
they
that
are
movie's
pretty,
good.
They are pretty Terminator-y, though.
That's the best movie that has come out in, like, the last 3 years, in my opinion.
Still haven't seen it.
Go see it. Go see it.
All right.
I was going to say something else about... Oh, what did you guys think of the perk chart? Do you like the perks? Do you dislike the perks?
Yes.
Both of those questions.
On. Having played Wasteland, I was like, oh man, this is weird that I'm not putting points into gun, like small arms or something like that. And then the more I'm playing them, I'm like, oh, thank God I don't have to do that, because I'll find like an energy weapon, and I'm like, I want to use this gun now, and I don't want to use, you know, poopy pistol. And before it'd be like, well, I guess I just can't use energy weapons because I don't have enough, you know, statistical points put into that. So I guess I'm just going to be using this forever. So I appreciate that that's gone, and it's all kind of been distilled into the perk chart.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, actually. I would agree with that, Griffin. I kind of like, even though I always enjoyed the stats, I think that having base stats, skills, and perks is a little bit redundant.
Mm-hmm.
I think that eliminating one was wise. And I also like how seemingly difficult it is to, like, you can't really be a master of everything because there are a lot of choices. Like,
yeah.
You have well over 100 choices available to you
if
you look at leveling up all the perks. And that's not even including leveling your base stats. So I appreciate that. I'm a little sad that the charisma perks are not as exciting as I would have hoped.
No, they're pretty weak.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like this game has just been mean to charisma players.
Yep.
Like, I don't even know what I want to spec into on there. Like, do I do the thing where I can pacify enemies?
I did the thing where I can pacify creatures, and it has yet to work once.
Really?
Yeah.
Interestingly, nice. if you look at the higher ranks, you can, like, make them do your bidding, which is pretty cool.
Yes, you could, except... I have yet to have a successful skill check on it, and again, you're getting no. It's like, well, was it a bad dice roll? Like, what are you doing here, game?
I don't know. Does it tell you the levels after you spec into it? Because I don't know the levels of the enemies I'm facing.
Mm-mm. I'm assuming just when there's the skull on it, it's a higher level than you.
I guess so. I only see that on like Deathclaws, basically.
Yeah, well, there are other enemies that will show up that have the skull on them, okay, if they're high level. But yeah, I've been thinking about doing like the end one where you can manipulate humans. But then I'm like, yeah, it's not.
It sounds cool, but I need to be level 10 in charisma, and I'm only level 7.
And then
so
you need to be up in their face, and you can't reroll the check if you fail it. So
yeah,
it's kind of like a real poor choice they made.
Yeah, that. Yeah. I wish they gave me just a little bit more, like a little bit more in terms of, again, it's just the dialogue is unfortunately mm-hmm. weak.
We can reroll on computer with the control panel.
Nice.
You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
In every Bethesda game,
the command console.
The console.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. You mean just yeah, yeah. I understand now. I'm with you.
Like. I could do, like, I could just decide right now that I want a million gold and the best armor in the game, and then I would just have it.
Yeah.
Be completely maxed out.
You used to have a pretty hard time with that, right? Like, the ability to just break the game at your whim if you want to?
I did. I now think that I am okay with that. Like, I have decided that I'm not going to use the console until I inevitably do.
Don't use it until you get stuck in level geometry, in which case you will vastly appreciate it.
Oh my god, I've had that happen so many times.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks. It sucks that the console version is easily so buggy.
Guess I can only fast travel at this point. See you later, place I'm at.
I was going to say, I had one really cool emergent moment, which I actually wanted to share, which is I was going through a hospital, and I was like, oh, this has got some pretty tough enemies, but, like, you know, I can stealth kill a lot of them, and it's not that bad. And then I got to the end, and it was like, oh, surprise, you're facing a Deathclaw, and you're, like, level 8. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Hmm.
And I died a few times, or I died once, and then I reloaded. I was like, okay, I'm going to use this Nuka grenade that I found lying around, and I threw it at the enemy, and rather than killing him, it just mutated him into a legendary Deathclaw.
Nice.
Which I managed to somehow kill.
Whoa.
I managed to kill him somehow. And I got, like, an amazing legendary baseball bat from him that, like, does double critical damage. And
that's awesome.
Then I was able to mod my bat and put spikes on it. And I'm like, this is awesome.
That is really cool. I do like that. I'm not a huge fan of the weapon modifying, but I like when you find the legendary stuff that then gives you... You can make any weapon really cool by modifying it, but I think now it when they have like the special stats that aren't moddable, that are like special abilities that the items give you, it just makes it feel even more important than they ever were.
Yeah. I think it kind of handily solves the issue because, you know, the games give out leveled loot. I think they still do that to some degree, but now like your loot that is leveled, like you can get a legendary item that is weak, but you can make it stronger. It can grow with you.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Like, I love that one of my weapons is the very first 10mm pistol I got, which I've spec'd out to be really strong.
Yep.
And one of my weapons is a legendary weapon, which I was also able to mod.
Yeah.
So, that's super cool.
Yep, yep. And finding those weapons are really cool, like, in the
world. Very rewarding, yeah. Or just even, like, scrolling a trader's inventory and finding something cool in there. It's exciting.
Yep.
So, yeah, I just, once again, that dialogue just, I wish they'd done more with
that.
Yeah,
it's brutal. It really, this is kind of the weird thing with that, though. It really makes me feel less worried about playing a pure charisma character, because that's what I want to do. I want to play like I would like to talk every situation out instead of just killing people. But since the dialogue is so bad, it's so bad and so uninteresting, and the resolution is usually so unfulfilling, I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to kill everybody here.
Yeah, I guess it's liberating in a sense, but it's also just a bummer that option seems to have been taken away. I mean, I don't know if Fallout 3 really was that great at that, but certainly New Vegas did a good job with presenting interesting charisma situations. So, yeah.
So basically this game is Jeff's preview for Fallout 4 Newer Vegas. Newest Vegas.
The mod that I've been working on.
Yeah.
Will come out in 7 years.
Do you think we're gonna get like in 2 or 3 years from now, we're gonna get from a different developer on this engine something that far surpasses this?
Fallout 4 Rhode Island.
If they gave, I don't think Obsidian necessarily would work with them at this point. Maybe, I mean, they've never said anything bad about them, but I don't know. There was that whole controversy over the bonus they didn't get because they missed the Metascore by 1 point. But if they threw Obsidian a bone, was like, hey, you want to work on our engine? And they did, I'd be thrilled. Because it's a good engine now. I think it's fine. Save for consoles.
Yeah, the good PC. So. I mean, this is probably what we're going to get Skyrim on, the next Skyrim on, unless they do the same thing they did last time when they introduced the new engine for the next Elder Scrolls.
Well, I mean, this is the same, you know, this is basically the same engine they've been using for like, I don't know, 10 years now. Mm-hmm. It's just they've made it pretty good.
Didn't they introduce a new engine for Skyrim?
They just retitled it. It's still Gamebryo. They called it the creation engine, but it's still Gamebryo.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I listened to an interview, and they did, in trying to develop Fallout 4, they ported Skyrim to the PS or to the next generation systems, PS4 and Xbox One, to see how it would run, to then find the challenges and weak points. So you know that means there will be Skyrim on the next gen, on the current gen consoles.
Skyrim, even more legendary edition. Yeah.
I think after, because I think that Fallout 4 is definitely not getting the like insane response that, you know, Skyrim did. So
yeah,
you feel like I feel like it's exploding.
Yeah.
I think it's doing really well. I think that critically, it hasn't been like as universally beloved as Skyrim. I mean, it's hard to measure degrees when everyone uses a 7 to 10 scale, but...
But I think the constant is, hey, we're kind of tired of the bugs, guys. Like, that is the one refrain that I keep hearing where it's like, yeah, it's great, it's more Fallout, everything's exactly what I wanted, except it's still pretty broken, and at this point, like, maybe you guys should consider fixing that... So,
yeah.
I guess so. I mean, different people have gotten more upset about bugs, and we've had the luxury of not having the console experience, so. Mm-hmm. It feels so solid to me. It's a weird thing. I don't know.
For PC, I think it is pretty solid.
I've been so impressed that it's been as bug-free as it was. I understand that Bethesda does not have access to the QA that it wants, because apparently ZeniMax doesn't, like, give it to them. That's, like, a thing.
They QA all internally.
Yeah, well, as I understand, they don't have the access to the level of like funding for QA that they would like, or the teams are not very big, or something like that.
No, I listened. Maybe that could be, but I listened to an interview, and Ron Howard just said, "Wait, that's his name." Right?
Ron Howard.
No, I always get this confused, right? Tim Gunn. No, what's the name?
Tim Gunn.
Yeah, Tim Gunn.
Tim Gunn of ZeniMax.
Todd Howard. There we go.
Todd Howard.
He was saying that, like, yes, they do all their QA internally, and they know that you actually can't QA a game like this. So I don't think that it's going to change down the line. I think the only thing that's going to force it to change is when somebody makes this game better.
Mm. Which I don't think they will make. You don't really see anyone else in this space doing exactly what they do in terms of, like, the world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in terms of the sheer volume of like interactable objects in the world. So I don't know where that competition would come from. I mean, maybe as these games kind of, because this is, you know, this was probably on track to outsell Skyrim based on initial projections. So if this game pulls in that kind of money, maybe they get thrown a bone in the QA front, or maybe they decide internally to get an actual team. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you know, it just sucks that you're having the problems you're having.
So I just checked, because I hadn't been keeping up with this stuff. So on Metacritic, it has 87 on consoles, 86 on PC, which is high. And then GameSpot says that in one day, it sold 12 million, as opposed to Skyrim, which sold 7 million in 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So that's why I thought, because everyone is talking about this game. Like, people who don't play games are talking about this game.
Oh, no, I mean, it's huge. I think that the critical, I mean, you know, Skyrim, I just looked, has a 94 on Metacritic. It's not as universally beloved. I think some fatigue is set in by reviewers who wanted something a little different. And there are people like, maybe, you know, the three of us, or maybe, you know, the three of us to different degrees, who are disappointed by certain decisions. I don't think anyone's calling it a bad game by any stretch. It's going to be one of the top sellers of the year. It's just there are things that popped up. It's not like the universally beloved perfect creature that some people expected it would be.
Gotcha.
It doesn't have that like Skyrim did, like where people would just turn a blind eye to the flaws that it had in service of saying, oh, it's new Elder Scrolls. I think that now that veil is kind of lifted and people are saying, yeah, it's Fallout and that's awesome and it's the next game, but these problems are still here, and it's frustrating.
Yeah. Slight correction on what I said before. So that those were shipped units. So 12 million shipped one day for this, and 7 million shipped in 2 days for Skyrim.
I know that the number that was that I saw through Steam Spy, which is not a super reliable resource because it tends to be a little off on the first few days, but the number that I saw for Steam users was 1.2 million on the first day, which is pretty big. Pretty big. Mm-hmm. And I think, go ahead, Jamie.
I just wanted to say real quick, I think it overtook something else as the most played simultaneously game.
Yeah, and these are one of the few titles that tend to be evergreen. You know, it's kind of the only GTA is another one, mm-hmm. but these tend to be mm-hmm. evergreen. So I could totally see this outselling Skyrim, despite the fact that it didn't review quite as well. But I mm-hmm. you know, I hopefully they'll listen. Hopefully attention will be paid to the dialogue front, because I do think that's the weak link, and the bugs on console do sound a little bit inexcusable.
Yeah. Well, I think it will all shake out at the end of the year when it's just not automatic game of the year for so many of the big publications. Just like Skyrim, where it was like, oh, yeah, now this has to be game of the year because it's the best thing ever. It's like, well, it has a lot of glaring flaws. Maybe you shouldn't just throw that on there, which I was very upset about because I don't think Skyrim was a great game. I'm glad to see that there's people like critics who are more aware of this and this being an issue that needs to be addressed with the power that they have.
Well, I think it's also hindered by the fact that, you know, The Witcher 3 came out this year. Mm-hmm. People really liked that. I mean, look, I happen to really enjoy what the engine does in Bethesda titles. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been something that's always been enchanting to me. Like, it really makes the worlds feel alive in a way that other worlds just don't.
Yeah.
They kind of fall flat for me. But I think a lot of people don't really understand that and don't identify with that, and they see like the better writing, I guess, in Witcher 3. I can't speak to it because I haven't gotten far, but the better writing, the more involved dialogue, and they might react to that. So I think that the competition is just in a different place, and people are gonna put those two games next to each other, even though that might not be 100% fair, because they are different in what they're trying to do. And they're going to like certain elements of The Witcher better. So I think that's probably another reason why Fallout has kind of taken a hit this year versus Skyrim, which is kind of universally acclaimed as the big RPG of the year.
That's a good point, yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. But I'm still having a great time. Like, I'm still super addicted. I'm going to play it after we're done talking.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I probably will as well. I mean, like I said, I was up very, very late last night playing the game, and I'm probably gonna do that again.
Yeah. So, anywho, I think that pretty much covers what we're playing, and I actually probably have to take off in a couple minutes here.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's cool about you guys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys gonna continue or what?
I don't really want to go over any of this news, since, you know, it's all
what
pretty...
What about Cloud Strife and Smash?
No,
you guys,
that,
Cloud
shit.
Strife is in.
Dude, that doesn't make any sense. Get out of here.
He uses Omni Slash, and the little text comes up, the old
You
text.
Sold me.
Yep.
Yeah, it you know, looks pretty... classic Nintendo icon, Cloud Strife.
Yep. I'm pretty excited for that special broadcast in December, because I'm sure they're going to announce the DLC winners, and they're going to be so stupid.
The only
Goku,
thing
we made it in, guys.
The only thing that I think is cool about having Cloud in Smash Brothers is that means that there's could be a Cloud amiibo, and that's amazing.
There will be. No, there will be one.
Okay. All right.
Every DLC character is getting an amiibo. They've already confirmed it.
All right. Well, I haven't seen the Ryu statue yet, so once
Oh no, it's actually been leaked.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I
get
will,
with the program, bro.
I will. Yeah. I'll be all in to a Cloud amiibo that will probably be packaged with two other crappy amiibo that I don't care about.
Yep, yeah. It'll be the DLC character pack for all the anime bullshit that everyone wants, like Goku, Cloud, Naruto.
If that is the case,
go
then
from Bleach.
That's a better choice. Yeah.
Another blonde sword user.
Hey, he's in good company, right? Same character all around. Yeah.
No, Cloud does look okay though. I was ready for him to be kind of boring, but he uses a lot of his limit breaks and they look pretty cool.
So yeah, the mechanic looks kind of weird, where you can like power up your recovery or your moves or something. I don't know. I don't care enough about it to engage with it.
It's not unheard of though. I mean, you know, damage based characters where getting damage builds meter. I mean, Lucario already does that basically. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's true.
So it's not unheard of.
Yeah. What was the other big thing? Twilight Princess, HD, snooze.
Yeah, don't care.
Yeah.
Furry amiibo, wolf amiibo.
Yeah, don't care, again. Most of this...
I'm super excited about Dragon Quest, though.
Don't care.
Fuck you. Jamie, you're excited about Dragon
Jamie,
Quest,
back
right?
me up, back me up.
I recuse myself.
There's that NX news is kind of cool.
No, it's not. I don't like that news. It's not news.
Yeah, you're right.
The only takeaway from that I think is interesting is like, where is Wall Street Journal coming from? Like, they are on the tip for a lot of this Nintendo stuff.
Just
I'm on the tip.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I think it's exciting to start thinking about what's going on. Well, I mean, the language is vague enough to mean nothing is the big problem.
Exactly. They report on that, and then the Kojima thing. Like, Wall Street Journal did both of those, which I find interesting. It's like, who is over there that cares about this?
I don't know. They probably have a good team. Games are important these days.
Yeah.
Who care?
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Kojima's going to be at the Game Awards, guys.
Yep.
Going to be there.
Yeah!
Maybe he'll announce his plans. That's when his non-compete ends.
Mm-hmm. He's like, hey guys, I'm going into the pachinko business. Screw you, Konami. I'm taking you down from the outside.
No, he's actually still at Konami. He's just been transferred to the pachinko division. The vacation story was true. Anyway. So I gotta go.
Yep.
But this was fun. Catch you guys all later.
Yeah, see you in another 6 months.
Uh-huh. All right. I'm going to start. Griffin, how do I Audacity? Hang the phone up and then push the stop button?
Pull the cord out of the wall.
All right. Got it.
All right.
All right. I'm gonna go, guys. I'll catch you later, okay?
That sounds good.
All right, see bye. Ya.
Boy.
Bye. Good talking to you, man.
Yes, of course.
I'm going to head out too, but next time I'll get Audacity going for me as well.
Oh, sweet. That'd be awesome. It's very simple.
Yeah, I already have it. Because I rip records with it, so because hipsterness.
I'm assuming you mean like a vinyl record is what you're ripping, not.
Yeah. Okay. Like my record player hooks into my computer and
That's probably the most hipster thing I can think of is a USB powered vinyl or a turntable.
Yeah, it's like the stupidest. It like doesn't make any sense on any level.
Mm-hmm.
Like no sense made whatsoever. But I still do it.
Delicious. So, yes.
Anyway, enjoy your Sunday, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Enjoy the fallouts.
I will. Bye.
Bye. And goodbye, dear listener. We'll see you next time.